listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
In the 1970s, I realized I was full of anger, and it was negatively impacting my young children. So I went to the University of California library near me, the one in Berkeley, to find out what I could do so that I could deal with the anger and stop it from ruining my life. And what I discovered was that there was no information about anger, especially about what at bottom led people to become angry or what to do about it so it didn't continue to be a problem that would last my whole lifetime. Well, I'm happy to report that we've come a long way since then. We know more about emotions, and yet, according to my guest for today, Raphael Kushner, knowing about emotions doesn't really cut it. Until we feel emotions where they reside in our bodies and work with them, we can't really reap the benefit that emotions are designed to serve for us. So we're talking today about the one thing holding you back. Welcome to Full Power Living. We're helping the world to realize and work with the importance, power, and mastery of human emotions. We welcome your questions and comments, and we're really glad that you're with us today. We also have as a co-host my friend Dakey Fox, who has in the past co-hosted Full Power Living. We're doing a pre-record today, so we won't be taking questions over our toll-free line. And Dakey is a life coach and a student of spirituality and a universal intelligence counselor, and she's with us from Houston. And Raphael Kushner is a leading voice in the world of emotional connection and present moment awareness. And he shared his unique approach to personal and professional development with millions of readers in O, the Oprah magazine, BeliefNet, Spirituality and Health, Psychology Today, and the Huffington Post. He's actually author of 6 books. He lectures worldwide. He's a faculty member at Esalen Institute, the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, and the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies. In addition, he coaches individuals and teams at Fortune 100 companies, governments, religious organizations, and leading nonprofits. Raphael's own heart was opened by an experience of profound grief. So, Raphael Kushner, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be with you.
Let's get rolling here. Emotions are so much more important than people have been taught. And as I first of all, let me say I really enjoyed reading your book. So I'll be asking you some things that came up for me, a combination of trying to make it clear for the people who are listening and also questions that I may have. We all have emotions, and that's something that we all have in common, yet still we're taking baby steps with our own emotions, because most of the time we think about them when what we really need to do is experience them. And that's a large part, or the major part, of what you're talking about when you discuss emotional connection. Is that so?
That's absolutely right. Emotions arise in our bodies. That's the only place we can feel them, connect to them, allow them to move through us and release from us. So they're physical in nature, and it's not often taught to us. We could learn that when we were even in grade school. It's an essential part of recognizing what it is to be human and to use our human feedback system in the best possible way, but unfortunately it's less known than would be good.
I want to ask you kind of a combined question here. What are emotions in your understanding? And for a long time, I've worked with emotions, and I've discovered that each emotion brings us a different message. In your book, you say emotions are the message. So I want you to talk about, please, what are emotions, and what do you mean by emotions are the message?
Sure, that's a great question. So an emotion is a message that is delivered to the physical body as a sensation. All of our sensations aren't emotional, but emotions are sensations. So for instance, you might feel a pang in your side, and it could just be, you know, you're digesting lunch, but it also could be jealousy. And some emotions, we know right away what they are. Others, we don't know until we tune in. And the reason that I say the emotions are the message is because the meaning that we ascribe to the emotions, or the choices that we make, or the actions that flow out of our emotions are very important. But if we do this right and well, those will come after we've connected and surfed our emotions fully so that we're as present and self-connected as possible. So if we don't do that first part, if we don't actually connect fully and directly to our emotions as sensations, then instead of getting the best possible insights from them, what happens is we stop them in our tracks by thinking about them or by thinking about the situation at hand. And that's what I'm trying to help people avoid by saying that emotions are the message.
That's really clear. Now, I've worked as a psychotherapist for 45 years, and one of the things that has bothered me about cognitive behavioral therapy that is very popular right now is that we're told emotions come from thoughts. And I don't, you know, you say they arise in the body. What's your idea of where emotions come from?
Well, let's be clear that when you think in certain ways, you can generate emotions. There's a feedback loop between thinking and feeling, especially if it's uninterrupted, then a lot of harmful or inaccurate thoughts will create difficult feelings. That's absolutely true. But it's not the only way that emotions arise. And so whenever anybody gets very one-dimensional about this, saying that all emotions begin with thoughts, I think about a dog, for instance, which clearly has emotions, which is sad that its owner has left, but it's not, as far as we understand, sitting around thinking, my owner's never coming back, and that's why I'm upset, or that's what's generating the emotion. Basically, the emotion is a direct response to a situation. So there's the initial emotional response that's just a natural and vital part of our feedback mechanism for being a human. And then there are, let's say, the secondary kind of emotions that arise from our thinking, whether it's accurate or inaccurate. So I think that there are wonderful benefits to using the mind to look at the mind, which is what cognitive behavioral therapy is all about. But if that is another way to keep us from connecting directly to our emotions, then it serves sometimes a temporary or superficial purpose, but it doesn't allow us to get to the heart of the matter. And so that's why I really appreciate what you were saying about cognitive behavioral therapy. And, you know, it can help, but it can also hinder. And, of course, one of the reasons for its great popularity is that it fits right into our managed care health system. And, you know, emotions are messy. That's one thing that we have to say, because life is messy. And so there's a great draw towards even the idea that, well, let's get you in there for 10 sessions or 12 sessions. You know, they only last 50 minutes, and we've cleared up your problems. So there's a draw, an economic and systemic draw towards cognitive behavioral therapy, but it doesn't, I think, do honor to the fullness of a human life and the fullness of a human feedback system.
I really appreciate you saying that. I, you know, in reading some of the examples that you have in The One Thing Holding You Back, I would say that your approach might work even faster than cognitive behavioral therapy and get to the root of the matter. And I want to tell you that I'm going to introduce you sometime to my dog. Davey has cared for her, and she does seem to sit for a day or two feeling like I'm never going to come back before she gives up. So, what's your idea of what emotions are designed to do for us? In my work with emotions, and I think I heard you say something about this just a few minutes ago, they're our messaging system. They're telling us how to navigate our lives. What's your idea?
I agree with that. I think that one way to think of emotions are as our internal compass that helps us understand how we are responding to the life around us and the kind of life that we want to create from within us. As rational as anybody can be, it's not the mind that tells us truly what's important, what moves us. And so emotions, to me, are a self-communication system. They tell us who we are, they tell us what's important, and they really help us chart our course in life in a way that is the most personally meaningful to us, not to others, not to what others would want for us, but for ourselves.
So let me bring, I see that you work with holistic situations, and I am a transpersonal therapist. I see our earth as a big giant school, and we've all come here in order to learn. And that would make emotions a key factor in our learning and growth. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, first of all, I say yay to that. I believe that emotions are the nexus between self and spirit. And what I mean by that is that when you're willing to be vulnerable to your own emotional experience, you're willing to really feel what you feel, you also come to recognize that you don't create your own emotions, that emotions arise out of the unconscious into the conscious mind. And so you, through your connection to your emotions, are actually tapping into what you could call source or spirit. And once you recognize that you don't get to choose how you feel, you only get to choose whether you resist or accept what you feel, and when you actually begin to open to that and see that connection as valuable and essential to you, you are entering into the transpersonal realm beyond your personality, or the I in quotes, that up until that time you thought was where you started and stopped as a being.
And it's that resistance that you're talking about that is the one thing that holds us back, because we have this gift of emotions, and they're designed to help us. And when we resist them, then we don't take advantage of what they're there to do. Would you have a comment on that?
Sure. The book that I wrote that is the most popular to this day is called The One Thing Holding You Back. And in that book, I state really directly what you just shared, that it's our resistance to our emotions that is the thing that's holding us back from whatever our wishes, our dreams, our goals in life. And that's because whenever you resist what you're feeling or what you're afraid that you're going to feel, it's the opposite of freedom. Freedom is when you're willing and able to experience all emotions that arise, which brings you into an expanded and present state. And it's from there that your genius is able to really move forward impactfully in the world.
And you give in that book, you give several things that keep people from in resistance, in that kind of resistance, primary of which is a fear of emotions, as I read it. What are the things that, why do we keep resisting?
Well, as a kind of a joke when I'm meeting with people in groups, I tell them, it's not your parents' fault. That's the first thing that I want to say. And I want to say that because actually that aversion to emotions is hardwired deeply into our culture. The seven deadly sins, anger, pride, greed, lust, sloth, envy, and gluttony, are either all emotions or they have a strong emotional component. And since we don't get to choose how we feel, if the feelings themselves are sins, you can see how we're really kind of screwed from the beginning. And yet, it's not even our culture's fault, if we're looking for blame, so to speak, because this is my truest answer to your question. I have learned that there is a glitch in our brain that actually creates this difficulty. And the way it works is that the limbic system generates emotions and needs us to feel the emotions in order to stay present and connected and alive and happy and refreshed. But the primitive brain can't distinguish between an external threat, like footsteps in a dark alley, and an internal threat, like grief or rejection. So what I'm saying here is that the primitive brain, which is supposed to keep us alive and will do its job, you know, full force all the time, actually thinks that difficult and challenging emotions are going to kill us. And so when they arise, it shuts them down. And so we in that experience are literally cross-wired. One part of our brains is telling us to do one thing, and another is saying, no way in hell is that going to happen. That's the bad news part, and that's where the aversion to emotion comes from. The good news part is that we can actually rewire our brains so that the primitive brain comes to recognize that difficult and challenging emotions are not life-threatening, and therefore doesn't have to shut us down the next time they come around. And the way that we actually rewire our brains is to feel those feelings, to tell the primitive brain temporarily, we're going to try this a different way. And when we actually feel those emotions in our bodies, then the primitive brain updates. It gets the message and it says, oh, okay, grief, not footsteps in a dark alley, not going to kill us, don't have to shut down the next time it comes around. So there's the bad news, but the good news is even better.
So that stands behind, that last thing you said stands behind the impetus that you give to actually for people to step into their emotions and then stand in them, to embrace them, to feel them, to go where they are. That's in essence training our primitive brain to recognize that those emotions are not life-threatening?
Yes, that's exactly it. When we feel our feelings, first of all, we clear the reservoir from the past of those feelings that arose that we haven't yet felt, because those don't go away. They stay in our body waiting for us to feel them, and they create all kinds of havoc when we don't. So the first thing that happens is that feeling your emotions directly helps you free yourself and heal yourself from the past. The next thing that happens is that it allows you to become more present and alive and engage with yourself and the world in the present. But what it also does is it ensures your greatest possible future, because, in fact, yes, the primitive brain rewires and won't get in the way so consistently as it had before you really learned how to do this emotional connection that we're talking about today.
Wow, I like that. We are up to our first break, and I want to ask you who are listening, what if your emotions are working to give you a message? And once you allow yourself to feel those emotions, you find that they move through you and open the way to this freer life that Raphael just described. We'll be talking more about this when we return here on Full Power Living.
Is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking today with emotional connection and present moment awareness expert, Raphael Kushner, who's author of The One Thing Holding You Back. We're discussing emotions and how resisting experiencing and recognizing them is the one thing that creates problems in all of our lives. Now, next week, our guest will be talking to us from New Zealand, Kim Knight, who's done a lot of work with bullying, and she's going to share with us some of the consequences of bullying and then offer us three things that we can do to alleviate those consequences. So join us next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern, for this discussion. And we invite you to go to our homepage at emotionalpro.com. Click subscribe. We'll put you on the list so we notify you of our upcoming shows. And remember that you can listen to Full Power Living on archives, and you can also subscribe to our broadcasts on iTunes. And there's a button there on the our homepage at emotionalpro.com. Today, I'm talking with the author of The One Thing Holding You Back and five other books. So do check out his website, which is emotionalconnection.org, I believe, Raphael, is that correct?
That is actually not my website. I have a number of different websites. My main website that connects to all of them is kushner.com. That is C-U-S-H-N-I-R, my last name.com. But also, for people who would like to learn more about what we've been talking about today and to receive access to 4 10-minute videos on the subject, they can do that at a website which is called hiddenpowerofemotions.com. That's hiddenpowerofemotions.com.
Okay, I'm just writing that there so I'll remember it. Okay, so I want to go back. In your book, The One Thing Holding You Back, I believe you mentioned that you started understanding more about emotions when you had a devastating personal event, a divorce in your life, and a friend gave you some advice. And I wonder if you'll give us that story, please.
Sure. The key thing is that it wasn't the divorce that really was the big challenge for me, and it actually wasn't the affair that my wife at the time had that was the big challenge for me. The big challenge was is that I said to Linda, and this is about 20 some odd years ago now, but it's still always fresh. You know, I said to her, when I married you, you became my family, and you don't get kicked out of my family unless you want to. So tell me, what do you truly want in this situation? And what Linda said to me at that time was, what I really want is to be with you. And I know that sounds crazy because I'm living with another man, and it seems like I have all the power and control in this situation. But to me, it feels like all of this is happening to me, and I haven't found a way to stop it. And I imagine you and I, you know, getting back together as a dim light at the end of a dark tunnel. I don't know if it could ever happen. I don't ask you to wait for me, but since you asked what was my ultimate, deepest truth, that's what it is.
Wow.
So as your listeners could imagine, that was the hell of the situation. And it took 2.5 years for that to really come to its final conclusion. But during that time, I was in such great pain. And I didn't really know what to do with the pain. I was in a kind of a classic dark night of the soul, which most of your listeners will know all about from their own life, where all the things that you've used in the past to get you through just aren't working. And I had a therapy. I had years in therapy. I had a spiritual practice, but this pain was kind of untouchable. And I was fortunate because I had a mentor at that time who said, I have an idea of what you might do with all that pain. So, of course, I wanted to know, tell me. And he said very placidly, how about nothing? How about if you do nothing at all to try to change the way you feel? And it sounded like craziness at first because it was torture what I was feeling. But something about it also rang true for me. You know, most people were saying at that time, it's good to stay busy. And I just knew that distraction wasn't the road for me. So I did my best, you know, kind of bumbled along taking my mentor's advice. And every time I noticed that my mind pulled me out of the whatever I was feeling, I would just bring myself gently back in. And, you know, that led to a kind of spiritual awakening experience that changed everything for me.
Wow. Well, yes, you remind me of my own dark nights of the soul. And I, too, had a spouse who went and lived with someone else and called me up and told me how much he missed me. And I'm going, what's wrong with this picture?
Wow.
But it's I really relate to you. Dakey, you have a question you'd like to ask. And Raphael, you just mentioned therapy. I think your question is therapy related, Dakey?
Thank you. It is therapy related, only in that y'all started talking about the limits of cognitive behavioral therapy. And I'm aware that that seems to deal with, and it's kind of a question as well, Raphael, it seems to deal with more the kind of distinction you made about emotions that come up with thoughts and the more direct experience of working with emotions in the body. I'm wondering if, I know you also deal with somatic therapies, and I wonder how that arose for you and if it is connected with the somatics movement, as it were, because I just think it's been fabulous to see somatics used and utilized so that it's making this kind of breakthrough that you're bringing to us possible.
Well, the word somatic really refers to what's happening in the body, and there are many different kinds of therapies that deal with that. Things that are hands-on, such as Hakomi therapy, for example. In my case, I was working not exactly when my breakthrough happened, but before that, I was informed by doing a kind of somatic practice, which was called integrative body psychotherapy, which combined talk therapy with emotional connection in the body, the way I've been describing, and then also some kind of hands-on support from a counselor. So I was already really friendly with a somatic approach, and I think that we can't really succeed in the fullness of our healing and integration without it, because we now know that the mind, not the brain, but the mind is distributed throughout our physical body. It's in every cell of our body, but also it's centered as much in our heart as in our head, which we know from the work of the great HeartMath Institute and all their research. We know what a gut feeling is without anybody having to tell us, but we've also learned through science that, first of all, more information travels up from the gut to the brain than the other direction. We know that something like 90%+ of the neurochemicals that are necessary for our brain to function are manufactured in the gut. And so we have to recognize that to be a full human being, we've got to take the elevator downstairs, so to speak, and include all of what's happening in our physical body. And so when I see techno-oriented people with all of their genius looking to create systems in which brains could function without bodies, it always makes me smile. It also makes me sad, because it's a kind of a wish, in a way, to be disconnected from everything that makes a human a human. And so to me, I wouldn't be interested. I don't want my brain hooked up to anything other than my human body. And so if anything, these last few paragraphs that I shared are just an evocation of gratitude for the whole somatic therapy movement.
Wow, that was really great. It helps me to understand a lot more. Dickie, do you have any more?
My follow-up is just thank you for making this connection and for expressing it so well in the work that you've turned it into, because we have not had access to the deep feelings other than maybe primal therapy type approaches in the same way that you're bringing it forward, because it's the wholeness of ourselves, as you referenced, that I see able to come forward and lead us because of what you're doing. And I wonder if, you know, if that gives you gratitude as well, that you could be such a power as to help us with that.
Well, it's certainly something that I am very grateful for. In my work, I feel like the greatest help that any of us can ever be is to get out of the way, to let whatever is in us come through us. And it's a paradox, because it comes through our personality, it comes through our bodies, but also it's really made of spirit. So I feel like the more I get into my body, the more I get into, we could say, God, or whatever word, you know, listeners would want to substitute for God if that word doesn't, is it meaningful to them? So I love the idea of as within, so without, and as above, so below. And that's actually the symbol of the cross. And I'm Jewish and have always identified Jewishly, but I love that symbol of the cross because it reflects everything I just described. And so So just to say it, you know, one more time and more simply, is that the more I get into my body, the more I also can access the divine. And for that, I'm deeply, truly always grateful.
Today is would have been the 79th birthday of my husband, Bob, whose yard site comes up at the end of this week. And he was raised Jewish and became Catholic. And so this has been a year where my husband died, and I, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking what really got me into even more flow than I was in before was using my physical body, because I emptied an entire 3-bedroom house and moved out and sold the home. And in doing that, it brought up my emotions so that I could release them, and it also really pushed me into my body. And so I just would like to express gratitude for that too. And as I'm listening to you, I'm going, wow, that was perfect. The universe set that up beautifully.
Love it.
Yeah. So now in your book, The One Thing Holding You Back, you literally teach people and then give wonderful examples how to use an approach that you call a 2x2 approach. Two things telling us what to do and two things telling us how to do it, so that when emotion comes up, we can get into the emotion and feel it and move through it. Will you describe the 2x2 approach?
I will, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade it out, because over the years I've learned that there's a different way that I can talk about it that will really get the point across as fully and simply as possible. And that's something that a word and a term that I used a little bit ago in our conversation, and that's to talk about
surfing.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And when you surf in the ocean, two things are moving together in a kind of exquisite union. There's the surfer on the board, and there's the wave beneath. And when you get a great ride, what happens is that you stay in connection with the wave through all of its twists and turns and micro undulations. And if you're on a wave and you start thinking about that rock that you almost hit, you'll wipe out because you go to the past. And if you start looking at that rock up ahead of you and trying to think how are you going to get around it, you'll also wipe out because you go to the future. And also, if you're having a great ride and you get distracted by that beautiful cloud in the sky, you'll wipe out again because you lost connection with the wave. And so if you take surfing as a metaphor and you imagine what it's like to surf emotions in the body, what you find then is that the wave is the sensation that you feel as it's moving through your physical body. And the surfer is your attention. And so when you bring your attention directly to that spot in your chest or your belly or your forehead where your sensations are flowing, you bring your attention right to those places and you let them lead. So you notice and allow, and follow the sensations like a surfer follows a wave. That's exactly what I mean by emotional connection, and that's what creates all the magic and the healing and the opening that we were talking about earlier.
You make it sound beautiful.
Well, I think it is, and I always say it's simple, but not easy.
Well, although I would take issue with that, I think the longer you do it, the easier it becomes.
Well, that's true. But for the difficult moments in life, the things we can't control, even if you're really good at it, you know, pain is still pain. And the idea is to welcome it because it's a part of life.
Right.
But I try not to make it seem like, you know, the experience itself is light always, because often, even if you know how to do it well, it can be very challenging because life is challenging.
Right.
Well,
so,
because you fall off the wave. You know, you're surfing and you fall off the board. So, of course, there are fallouts, but then we get back up on the board, and that's when the connection is reconnected, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And the one thing is that when you fall off a wave in the ocean, you've got to surf out to where the waves are breaking, and they might not be breaking, so you might wait. You know, after all that vigorous effort, you might wait for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or you might be done surfing for the day. But in the body, when you wipe out, you don't even go looking for the great wave that you may have been surfing on a moment ago, because that's gone. That's the past. And instead, you recognize that we humans wipe out in this internal surfing all the time. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you got to get back on the wave of this moment. So whether you get distracted or whether you get resistant or you get stuck analyzing or judging or any of the things that we do that wipe us out, there's always, always the wave of this moment. And so you can always refresh and start again.
And I would add that my experience is that you don't have to worry about it. If you fall off the surfboard and you can't find the wave, you don't have to worry about it. It will come back because there's something within it that is a message for you.
Yes, and what I like to say, because a lot of times people think they need to go looking for it, is I like to say that any emotion from the past that is important to you will reliably show up in the present. And if it's not showing up in this moment, it's not anything that you need to worry about. And if it doesn't show up, you know, ever again, then whatever reason it was there for is no longer relevant. So rather than looking backwards, you can always stay present and trust in that.
You know, that has informed, fortunately, I had a wonderful therapist when I was in therapy, and she modeled that behavior back in the, I guess that was in the 70s, and her way of working with a person was to work with whatever was happening the moment they walked into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I've worked now for 45 years. And it's so powerful. But it's, in a sense, antithetical to traditional therapy where you're supposed to figure out what a person's problem is and plan out how you're going to fix it. But if you trust, at least my position as a therapist, is if I trust that whatever's coming up in the person, if I can connect them with it, they will move through it and they will eventually have an entire whole to work with. They'll their entire system. That's just another way of doing what you're talking about, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with you. I feel grateful that you found that therapist and that that's the way that you've practiced, and I would say amen.
Oh, good. Because it's hard sometimes to explain to people. They go, well, so what are we? What's our outcome? I don't know. We'll find out. Okay. It's time for our second break. And when we come back, Raphael, I want to talk about this phenomenon of how we human beings tend to draw to us people who push us in emotional ways that you talk about in your book. So you're listening to Full Power Living. I'm talking with Raphael Kushner, who's author of The One Thing Holding You Back, and we'll be right back.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncrediblekids.com now. That's RaiseIncrediblekids.com.
All right, so welcome back. If you're just joining us, my guest today is an emotional connection and present moment awareness expert, Raphael Kushner, who's author of The One Thing Holding You Back. So right before the break, Raphael, I asked you to talk about one of the things that I've noticed and worked with over the years is that the people who come into my life seem to, if you will, push my buttons emotionally. And I've come to see that as them helping me in a way to release emotional issues that I have blocked inside of myself. You talk about it differently, but talk about how you see, why you see that that happens.
Well, I would say even if my language is different, that we're still speaking about the same theme. I think that when emotions are not felt, they move into our unconscious, and they still want to be felt. And so their mission changes from feel me to, hey, notice me, I'm still here. And one of the best, and we could almost say most diabolical ways they have to get noticed is to bring into our lives people and situations that will force us to feel those very emotions that we wouldn't feel in the first place. And so what I mean by that is that the engine behind the negative patterns in relationships that you have in life, whether they're family relationships or romantic ones or work ones, the engine is those resisted emotions. They will reliably bring the people to you who trigger those feelings. So you could say, well, that's just hell, or you could say it's a great opportunity. And if you see it as a great opportunity, then you can say, even though this might sound a little bit counterintuitive, you can say, I look forward to the next time that I'm triggered into feeling guilt or shame or rejection or abandonment, because once you're ready for it and willing and able to feel the feelings that come up, you can actually start to disassemble that engine that has been creating the patterns for you. So the people in your life who are the most difficult actually have the greatest gift to give you if you're willing to see it and receive it in that way.
I could not agree more. That's really wonderful. Another place I think where you and I agree, now you have in your book a lot of stories about people and how you work with them, with their emotions, how they open up to them. And when they connect with them, there's an expansiveness. But many times, you're working with the resistance, and you end up using an approach of having them look at the worst thing. Could you talk about what that is and how it works?
Yeah, sure. So the basic idea is that when you are wanting to move forward in your life, but you're not, it's almost always because there's some emotion connected to that particular goal that you haven't yet been able to find or feel. And that when you start to feel those feelings, then you get freed up in moving towards your goal. So the way to do that is to notice what I call your flinch, that place where you could move forward, but you don't. You know, having a difficult conversation with someone, beginning research, a new project, opening, you know, renting an office space to do your business. And from that place of flinching, where you don't move forward, you can then look at what is the worst case scenario if you did move forward and how that would make you feel. And then on your own, or perhaps preferably with the help of someone else who knows how to do this, you can try to bring up that difficult feeling. So for instance, if entering into a new relationship, the worst thing that could happen is that you would be utterly abandoned. If you actually imagine that your worst case scenario comes true and you are utterly abandoned, and you let yourself feel that abandonment in your body, you know, you surf it the way that we've been talking about today, then what happens is that you allow your primitive brain to update and to realize that abandonment, while it's incredibly painful, isn't going to kill you. And then therefore, you can start to get freed up in your desire to go further in relationship. So whether it's about relationship or it's about career or even about health and your body, in any of these cases, once you start feeling the emotion connected to the worst-case scenario, you start freeing yourself from the stuckness which has kept you from moving forward.
Interestingly, many years ago, I attended a lecture by an Indian yogi who came to San Francisco, and he talked about the path to freedom being that of facing fact. And it sounds to me like that's a lot of what you're talking about. You look squarely at the fact of the situation instead of your fear or your imagination.
Yes, but also when we have a difficult emotion like shame or abandonment, as I mentioned earlier, it's really important to distinguish between the raw feeling in our body that's connected to that experience versus the interpretation or the verdict that comes from it. So we may actually perceive something that's going on as a fact. You know, I'm not good enough. But I'm asking people not to believe or get entangled with the thoughts that are connected to the issue, but rather to find that place inside of them where they feel not good enough. And it's through feeling the feeling rather than getting tangled in the thoughts that we really actually heal and get free.
Yes. Yeah. You remind me, years ago I was backpacking on my own and for about a week, and I really wanted to be alone, and I crossed over a little mountain peak and went down into a valley. There was a little lake there, and I camped there for the night, and I built a fire. Now, the fire was very safe, but there was a lot of wind, and it kept flickering, and I started feeling afraid. And when I looked at, you know, when I went into the fear, what I found was that I was terrified that the fire would get out of control. And I said, oh, I'm afraid of dying. Didn't work at all. But when I realized that I was afraid of being insignificant, like nobody would know what happened to me, mm-hmm. that's what the fear was. And then as part of healing it was looking at the worst possible thing. I spent quite a while looking at the really famous people like John F. Kennedy, for example, who had walked on this earth and already by that time, which was the early 80s, there were a lot of people who didn't even know who he was, whereas he was significant. And that released me once I did that.
I think that's great. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's that kind of expansion that I was just talking about. It released me. It's the expansion that lets us know that we are no longer in resistance with a particular feeling or feeling state. Is that correct?
That's right. People want to know, how long am I supposed to do all of this feeling? And, you know, there's no one simple answer, but a good guideline is that when you feel present and open and connected to yourself and what's around you, which is what I call an expanded state, then if you choose to, you can go about your business. And even with really difficult feelings, that often takes just a few minutes, actually.
So just as a continuation of that, what would you say are the benefits of ending our resistance to emotion?
Freedom, joy, peace, connection to spirit, and the opportunity to be the fullest, unique expression of the divine that each individual truly is.
So this is no small matter we're discussing
no,
today.
No. It's everything.
So here was a question that came to my mind. Emotions never stop coming up. But if we have a pattern of resisting a particular emotion or a genre of emotional type things, can we end it? Can we end our resistance to a particular emotion for a lifetime or not?
I think that's an important question to slow down in answering, because the first answer is yes, for sure we can end our resistance to that emotion. But the slower second answer is that doesn't mean that we are ever going to like it necessarily, or that by accepting it we can keep it from coming around. So I think that life moves forward for us like a spiral where we keep deepening in our wholeness, but in that spiraling deeper and deeper, we touch on some of those same emotional wounds and experiences, and they can feel like they're the story of our lives and that we're stuck with them. But what we can also see if we pay close attention is that we're not the same. So we're meeting them each time they come a little bit more fully. And to me, that's a well-lived life.
That's a beautiful place to stop. I want to say, Raphael, that I just love meeting and talking with people like you who've taken powerful experiences for their own life and used them to expand themselves. And then they turn around, as you're doing, and offer what you've learned to the rest of us so that we can expand also. So I have found your approach to emotions simple, practical, and effective. And I want to thank you for your work on yourself and your work with others and your work to share with us, especially in your writing, the one thing holding you back, and your other books as well. So thank you
so much. You're so welcome. It's been great to be with you both.
All right. Thank you for being here. It's just great. So let me remind you that Raphael Kushner's website is Kushner, CUSHNIR.com. And he also has the Hidden Power of Emotions.com. And his book is The One Thing Holding You Back. I know it's available on Amazon.com, ubiquitously available. So I really recommend it. Dakey, thank you for being with us today and asking your wonderful questions. I really appreciate your presence.
Oh, thank you both. It's just been lovely talking with you.
All right. So next week, New Zealander and worldwide healer Kim Knight will be here to talk with me about the consequences of bullying and offer us three things we can do about it. So be here again next Thursday. If you can't be with us in person, listen to the archives on emotionalpro.com. And you can also subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. Full Power Living's producer is Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.